Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, July 20th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. New chapter. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, sir, for another day of freedom in Client Nation USA, the freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. When I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, which is a four-year school, the second year, S. Lewis Johnson, who was the head of the Greek department at Dallas, and very excellent, excellent Bible teacher, was going to have a class that had never been taught there before, the use of the Old Testament in the New. Well, I was just a second-year student. I was majoring in Hebrew and minoring in Greek, but I was only in my second year. And a lot of my friends, they said, "Olson, you got to take this. You got to take this. Use of the Old Testament and the New. S. Lewis Johnson teaching it." I said, I'm just a second year. I hardly have any Hebrew and Greek." No, you got to take it." So I walked in. There was no place to sit down. Every chair was filled up. Students were standing all the way around. Here are all these fourth-year students and third-year students. I've never seen so many students in a classroom before. And I thought, what the hell am I doing here? And then S. Lewis Johnson comes in. He came and he did not crack a smile. He kind of gave the evil eye to everybody looking at up against the wall and everybody sitting there. He said, "All right, there will be a test every single day. Every student in here will have to exegete Hebrew every day and Greek every day. You'll have to exegete it, every one of you, and test it every single day." Then he said, "That's it for today. I'll see you tomorrow." Walked out. and I had to go and change my shorts because I just crapped my pants. And I went back for day two. When I went back for day two, you could sit anywhere you wanted. It was like you all here. About 70 of the students that were there yesterday were not coming back for this day. And S. Lewis Johnson walked in this day. I'm sitting up near the front. He came in with a big smile on his face. He said, "Now, disregard everything I said yesterday. There will not be a test every day. You will not have to exegete in Greek or Hebrew." He said, "I just had to get rid of the ones who didn't want to be here." And he did. Brilliant. He was tougher than nails on the first day. Got rid of 75% of the people that were there. And the rest, well, it was one of the best courses I ever took at Dallas Seminary. The use of the Old Testament and the New. Now you might wonder why I started out with that. Because of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in this first six verses, we have the open letter, unveiled glory, the reflected glory of Christ in the winner believer. But the Apostle Paul has to start this paragraph out in verse 1 with sanctified sarcasm. You see, this is 2 Corinthians. The believers in Corinth set the world record for arrogance. They set the world record for reversionism. They set the world record for bad decisions living in the cosmic system. And in 1 Corinthians, all Paul could do was clobber them and clobber them and clobber them and clobber them. They were sheep that were going over the cliff. Several of them had gone over the cliff. They crashed. They were crashing and burning. Paul didn't want to see his sheep, the Lord's sheep, go over the cliff and crash and burn. And so he had to teach them the Word of God with tough love. Tough love. Virtue love. And he did. Nobody loved the believers in Corinth more than the Apostle Paul did, but it was virtue love. And he taught them with virtue love. Now, arrogant people don't have any ability to appreciate that. If you're out of fellowship with God, you have no ability to appreciate that. If you're in the cosmic system, you have no ability to appreciate that. Until you come to your senses, rebound, get back in fellowship with God, live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. The Apostle Paul, along with Moses, two of the greatest believers of all time, two of the greatest communicators of the Word of God of all time, both of them had virtue love. And they taught with virtue love. They had personal love for God the Father. And that was the great motivational virtue. That motivated Paul and Moses to communicate and manifest impersonal love for all. And you had to have impersonal love for all to teach the believers in Corinth. This was the motivational virtue, and that motivated impersonal love for all. And the Many of the believers in Corinth never appreciated, but the Apostle Paul loved them with impersonal love for all of them. That's why he taught them with tough love. That's why he had to clobber them and say, look, you're falling over the cliff. You're arrogant. You're in the cosmic system. You're crashing and burning. I don't want to see you crash and burn. And then, of course, he had occupation with Jesus Christ. And on the other side of the coin, plus eight, shared the happiness of God. And that's how he taught them in 1 Corinthians. Everything he did when he taught 1 Corinthians was exactly right. He did it the right way. By the power of the Spirit of God, he taught them with tough love. And he honored God. Paul honored God and glorified God in teaching them with tough love. Well, when he did that, a lot of those arrogant believers in Corinth, they said, that's it, that's the hell with Paul. And if he winds up trying to come here again, we'll just throw him out. I don't want Paul. And they would malign Paul and judge Paul, slander Paul, gossip about Paul. Paul knew all that. And that's why he starts out in chapter 3 the way he does. With sanctified sarcasm. Verse 1. We begin again to commend ourselves. This is the present middle indicative of archo with the adverb pauline, plus the present infinitive of sunistimi, with the reflexive pronoun heautu. We start out with the aorist middle indicative of the verb archo. A-R-C-H long O. Archo. A couple of things. First of all, literally, archo means to be first. To be first, that's its literal meaning. Two, in the active voice, it means to rule over something or someone. We have the archangels, and they were the ruling angels with authority. That's the active voice. Three, in the middle voice, which is what we have, it means to begin. To begin. Four, in the middle voice, it denotes what one begins to do. Now, archo is the main verb, and it is completed by the epexegetical infinitive of sunistemi. The epexegetical infinitive completes the idea of the main verb. The main verb is archo, to begin. To begin to what? To begin to commend. And that is sunhistimi. S U N I S T long E M I. Sunistemi. Now, a couple of things. Sunistemi is a compound verb made up of soon, the preposition soon, which is with, and histemi, which is to stand. Compound verb made up of the preposition soon, with, and histemi, to stand. So literally, it means to stand with, to bring together, to unite. Two, soon histemi came to mean to present, to introduce, to commend, to recommend someone to someone else. To present, to introduce, to commend, to recommend someone to someone else. 3. Sunistemi became the verb used for commendation. The verb that was used for commendation. And then we have also with this an adverb, Pauline. P-A-L-I-N. Pauline. And Pauline means to go back, to return, to start over. And sometimes again, to go back, to return, to start over. To start over again. Now Paul's already been there. He's been there and taught 1 Corinthians. And now he says, do I have to start all over again and commend myself to you again? Pauline denotes a falling back into a previous state or a return to a previous activity. And then we have also the reflexive pronoun heautou. That's H-E-A-U-T-O-U. Heautou, reflexive pronoun. It means ourselves. Ourselves refers to Paul and Timothy and Titus. So he says in corrected translation, do we have to start all over and begin to commend ourselves again? Do we have to start all over like we've never been there? We've never taught to you and commend ourselves again? One. 2 Corinthians 3:1 is pure sanctified sarcasm. Paul is using sanctified sarcasm. Now there is a place for sarcasm in the spiritual life, however, it is reserved for those in spiritual maturity like the Apostle Paul. 2. When he taught 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul had to exercise his spiritual authority. Now he was an apostle. That was the highest spiritual authority ever of any of the spiritual gifts. And Paul had to exercise his spiritual authority when he taught the believers in Corinth. They were falling off the cliff. They were crashing and burning. They were arrogant. They were setting the world record for different categories of reversionism. They were living in the cosmic system. So in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul had to exercise his spiritual authority and teach the absolute truth of God's Word to the Corinthian believers with tough love. And sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes you must, and sometimes the communicator of the Word of God must teach with tough love. And everything Paul did in teaching the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians was exactly right. He did it the right way. And there is a time when communicators must teach the Word of God with tough love. And of course, there's always those in the congregation who think, oh, and you feel so sorry for the people that are getting clobbered with tough love. And I've seen some of you can't run fast enough after class is over, running up, oh, help me, help me, help me. felt so sorry that the mean Pastor Olson taught with tough love, and you were just feeling sorry for those people. But I don't see anybody feeling sorry for Pastor Olson having to see all that crap. Three, he stepped on their toes. He hurt their feelings. They were wearing their feelings on their sleeves. And Paul bypassed Corinth on several occasions. And by the way, it wasn't Paul stepping on their toes, it was God the Holy Spirit stepping on their toes. Through the teaching of the absolute truth of the Word of God. Four. So in the Corinthian believers have become very critical of Paul. The Corinthian believers have become very critical of Paul. Five. Now they don't want to have anything to do with Paul. Now they don't want to have anything to do with Paul. Six. So in great sanctified sarcasm, Paul says, so now I have to come back to Corinth as someone you have never met? Do we have to start all over and begin to commend ourselves again? That's verse 1. So in great sanctified sarcasm, Paul says, so now I have to come back to Corinth as someone you've never met? The Apostle Paul led many of these Corinthians to the Lord. He gave them the grace gospel. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from Paul. They believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul then taught them the grace and truth of the Word of God. Paul has known the Corinthians for years. And everybody in Corinth has known Paul for years. Seven. But because of their arrogance, their criticism, their gossip, their maligning and judging of Paul, they don't want to have anything to do with Paul anymore. But by their arrogance and their criticism, their gossip, their maligning, their judging of Paul, they don't want to have anything to do with Paul. They've phased Paul out. We don't want Paul. Anybody but Paul. All he does is kick us in the patootie. Again and again and again. That's all he did for 16 chapters in 1 Corinthians. So bring anybody in here. Just don't bring Paul in here. Eight. So in sanctified sarcasm, Paul says, you mean I have to start all over and come to you as a stranger? As if you don't know me or you have never heard the teaching, my teaching? That's what he's saying here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. great sanctified sarcasm. Paul says, you mean I have to start all over again and come to you as a stranger? As if you don't know me, you've never heard me teach? The Apostle Paul was criticized more than any believer who ever lived, with the possible exception of Moses. Paul and Moses, two of the greatest believers and the greatest communicators of the Word of God ever. They were the most criticized, the most maligned, the most judged of all believers in human history, of all communicators. So he says, do we have to start all over again and begin to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, he's still going on with his sarcasm, this is the disjunctive particle eta plus the present active indicative of credo plus may used as an interrogative particle plus the comparative particle hos with the nominative plural of the indefinite pronoun tis. The disjunctive particle eta. Looks like that's just one letter, a long E. Eta. It is a disjunctive particle, correctly translated, or it's used to introduce a question which supplements a preceding one. And then we have may used as an interrogative particle. The negative may used as an interrogative particle, and it's used when a negative answer is expected to the question. There are questions that are asked here, but it demands the answer, no. That's why we have the credo, and then credo. C-H-R, long E-Z, long O, credo. Credo means to have need of. The comparative particle hos means like or as, and then the plural of the indefinite pronoun tis as some or certain ones. Or do we need like certain ones, like certain people? Or do we need like certain people epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? This is the genitive plural of epistole, modified by the genitive plural of the adjective sustatikos, plus the prepositional phrase pros, plus the accusative of the personal pronoun su, the disjunctive particle eta, once again with the prepositional phrase ek, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. Epistole, transliterated epistle. That's E-P-I-S-T-O-L, long E. Epistole. Epistole, transliterated epistle, it means letter. It is modified by the adjective sustatikos. That's S-U-S-T-A-T-I-K-O-S, sustatikos. And literally, sustatikos means introducing, commendatory. When used with epistole, it means a letter of recommendation. So, epistole sustatikos, a letter of recommendation, and then pros plus the accusative of the personal pronoun suit, to you or for you, and then eta plus ex and the personal pronoun suit, or from you. A letter of recommendation for you, to you, or a letter of recommendation from you. So the corrected translation. Do we have to start all over again and begin to commend ourselves? Or do we need, like certain people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? And the negative me says, no, we don't. That's the negative me. No, we don't. Demands the answer, no. But your arrogance, your critical attitude, your sins of the tongue, mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward us, says that we do have to do this. So, do we have to start all over again and begin to commend ourselves? Or do we need, like certain people, letters of recommendation for you or from you? The negative may. No, we don't. But because of your arrogance, mental attitude sin, sins of the tongue, toward us, says we do. 2 Corinthians 3:1 then is full sanctified sarcasm. Full sanctified sarcasm. Two, Paul is saying, do I have to come with letters of recommendation before you will allow me to come into your churches and teach the absolute truth of God's Word? He's saying, do I have to come with letters of recommendation before you will allow me to come into your churches and teach the absolute truth of God's Word? There were lots of churches in Corinth, huge city. 3. The believers in Corinth were allowing other teachers to come in, legalistic teachers and false teachers. They were allowing them to come into their churches and teach, but not Paul, because he was so tough. He was too tough. The Corinthians were, believers in Corinth were allowing other teachers to come in, legalistic teachers, false teachers, to come into their churches and teach, but not Paul, because Paul was too tough. Yes, he exercised his spiritual authority, which a communicator of the Word of God from time to time has to do. And he taught them with tough love, exactly like he should do, what he had to do. 4. These legalistic teachers and false teachers would come with letters of recommendation. And oftentimes they would forge Paul's name. They would forge Paul's name on their letters of recommendation. These legalists and false teachers would say, I have a letter of recommendation from the Apostle Paul, verifying the fact that I am a sound doctrinal teacher. And it was all lies. They forged Paul's name so they could get in and teach. 5. So the Corinthians would allow these legalists and false teachers to come in and teach false doctrine. But they made up their mind that if Paul ever came to Corinth again, they would throw him out. So the Corinthians would allow these legalists and false teachers to come in and teach false doctrine. But they made up their mind that if Paul ever came to Corinth, they would throw him out. He wasn't nice. Now, I don't even like the word nice. That's a four-letter word. I stay away from those four-letter words. Well, maybe not all of them. Good, that's a four-letter word. I like, well, I'll tell you, sacred honor, virtue. I was given a very special ring from my wife. It has a cross and it says sacred honor. And I'll take this with me to my grave. That might not be too far along. Sacred honor. That means something. Virtue. That means something. We don't understand that today. We don't understand virtue love today. Believers don't understand virtue love. Believers think they know all about love. They don't know anything about love. They don't know a damn thing about love. But if they ever studied the epistles of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, well, they would nail what virtue love, real love. What is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life? To have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective. That's more important than anything else. You're here to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, the motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all, occupation with Christ, sharing the happiness of God. And we have all these Christians that think they know all about love and romance and marriage, and they don't know a damn thing. You see, they think that their romance means they'll be happy, that marriage will make them happy. Romance doesn't make you happy. Marriage doesn't make you happy. Marriage wasn't even designed for happiness. It was designed for virtue. Virtue. Personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God. When personal love is directed toward man, it's virtue dependent. It must be inside the integrity envelope of virtue love, impersonal love for all. You get that personal love inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Now, virtue is the basis of happiness. Now your personal love inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Now you can have happiness in marriage. Now you can have happiness in romance. But if you don't have that personal love inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all, romance won't make you happy, and marriage won't make you happy. And it used to be, years ago, divorce was something that was way up here by unbelievers and down here by believers. Now believers have tied and gone past unbelievers on divorce. Why? No spiritual life, no virtue love, no honor, no sacred honor, no virtue, no integrity. That's the key. If you want to have happiness in marriage, yeah, can you have happiness in marriage? Yes, you can. But that personal love has to be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. You get it in there, yeah, then you can have happiness in marriage. You can have happiness in romance. But if you don't, and you think marriage is going to make you happy, and you have no virtue love, you will crash and burn. Your marriage will crash and burn. Romance, friendships will crash and burn. All of those. Personal love directed toward people must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all means sacred honor. And when you have that sacred honor, virtue, integrity directed toward people, you got something special then. Then you have something very special in your marriage, something very special in romance, something very special in friendships. But today, Christians haven't got a clue. They think they're experts on love. They aren't experts on anything except arrogance and how to crash and burn. So, verse 1. Do we have to start all over again and begin to commend ourselves? Or do we need, like certain people, letters of recommendation for you or from you? Negative may. No, we don't. But your critical mental attitude toward us says we do. Now, verse 2. In verse 2, the winner believers in Corinth are Paul's letter of recommendation. You are our epistle. This is the nominative plural of the personal pronoun su, plus the present active indicative of ame, plus the nominative singular of epistole with a definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. The nominative plural of the personal pronoun su. Now, I've told you this many times. Some of you got it. Some of you haven't heard it many times. You don't have to have any personal pronouns in the Greek. You don't have to have them at all. When they are put there, they're put there for a very special reason. Emphasis. Emphasis. So we have a personal pronoun su, which is very emphatic. Paul is putting the spotlight on the winner believers in Corinth. He is putting the spotlight on those believers with positive volition and humility. The ones who have been consistently and faithfully assembling and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You, positive believers with humility. And then the to be verb, ame, is used to describe a special relationship between the subject, you, positive believers with humility, and the predicate nominative, our letter of recommendation. You, positive believers with humility, you are our letter of recommendation. Written in our hearts. This is the perfect passive participle of engrapho with the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural of cardia with the definite article plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Engrapho. That's E. When you have two gammas together, the first one has, you transliterate with an N, the second one with a G. R-A-P-H, long O. Engrapho. Engrapho literally means to record. Figuratively, it means to write in something or on something, and here is to write in our hearts. The perfect tense is the intensive perfect. Emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action. The passive voice, these winner believers receive the action of being written in Paul, Titus, and Timothy's hearts. The participle is circumstantial, a causal participle. And then entice cardiais haemon in our hearts. So the corrected translation, you, positive believers, with humility, you are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past with the result that you will always be in our hearts. You, positive believers, with humility, you are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past, with the result that you will always be in our hearts. And then he says, known and read of all men. This is the present passive participle of gnosko with the conjunction kai plus the present passive participle of anagnosko. So we have gnosko and anagnosko plus the prepositional phrase hupa plus the genitive plural of anthropos modified by the adjective pos. So gnosko, and then we prefix ana in front, anagnosko. First, gnosko. G-I-N long O-S-K. Oops. That's, oh wow, that's the first mistake I've made today in the last 5 minutes. Gnosko. Gnosko means to know or to come to know. It means to know as a result of observation. The present tense, you are constantly being observed by both people and angels, with the result that they know something about you. You are constantly being observed by both people and angels, with the result that they know something about you. The passive voice, you receive the action of constantly being observed by people and angels, and therefore you are known by them. The participle is circumstantial, attendant circumstance, having the same force as the main verb, ame. You are our letter of recommendation, and you are known and read by all men and angels. You are our letter of recommendation, and you are known and read by all. And then the conjunction kai is continuative, and now we have anagnosko. A-N-A-G-I-N long O-S-K long O. Anagnosko. One, anagnosko means to read again and again and again. To read again and again and again. Two, it means to study again and again and again. Three, it means to be exegeted again and again and again. To read again and again and again, to study again and again and again, to be exegeted again and again and again. The present tense, point two, you are constantly being read and studied and exegeted by all mankind and angels. You are constantly being read and studied and exegeted by all mankind and angels. Three, passive voice, you receive the action of constantly being read and studied to discern what you really are. Are you winners or are you losers? The angels are looking at you. And they know the winners and they know the losers. And the participle is circumstantial, attendant circumstance, having the same force as the main verb, ame. Hupa plus the genitive is by, and then ponton, anthropon, all men, everyone. So the corrected translation. You, Positive believers with humility, you are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past with the result that you will always be in our hearts. And you are known and read again and again by everyone, men and angels. You, positive believers with humility, you are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past with the result that you will always be in our hearts, and you are known and read again and again by everyone, men and angels. One, in every generation, there are those winner believers who have the moral courage to stand for God and the Word of God. In every generation, there are those winner believers who have the moral courage to stand for God and the Word of God. Doesn't make any difference what everybody else is doing. Everybody else in this country, what they're doing, if you're going to stand with the majority, you're a loser. I don't give a damn what everybody else in the country is doing. But I'll stand up for God and for His Word. I love that we have in our home, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I don't give a damn what anybody else is serving, and they're serving everything else. They're serving Satan. They're serving arrogance. They're serving evil. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In every generation, there are those winner believers who have the moral courage to stand for God and the Word of God. Two, as a result of their positive volition and genuine humility, they advance to spiritual maturity. As a result of their positive volition and genuine humility, they advance to spiritual maturity. Three, they refuse to be distracted away from the spiritual life into the Satan's cosmic system. They refuse to be distracted away from the spiritual life into Satan's cosmic system. Don't give the devil the satisfaction. Don't give the devil the satisfaction. They refuse to be distracted away from the spiritual life into Satan's cosmic system. Four, they reflect the glory of God, the grace of God, the virtue love of God. And it's obvious. It's obvious. There's so few of believers that are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So few that have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. The world never sees them. Because Christians are no different than unbelievers. But when you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you reflect the glory of God, you reflect the grace of God, reflect the virtue love of God, you're like a spotlight shining in a dark world. And everywhere you go, it's obvious. Everywhere you go, You might be taking your car to have repairs done on it. But as a winner believer, you're there, filled with the Spirit, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, self-control. You reflect the very glory of God, the grace of God, virtue, love of God. A fellow that I take my Hummer to, and I take my Hummer. It's not evil. It's not satanic. It's not electric. It's a gas-eating hog. And the fellow who I've been dealing with for several years, I wasn't there, but he asked Debbie, "What does your husband do?" "He's a pastor of a church." "Oh, oh, well, that explains it." She said, "Ethan, he is always great when he's in here. You can just get your car worked on. You can go hunting. You can go hunting and be up in the northern part of the state of Nevada where there's more animals than people. There's almost no people. Dufferina ponds. Natural hot springs come up out of the ground. They take the natural hot springs and pump the water from the hot springs into shower rooms. You can take showers there. Hot showers. You can swim in a heated pool that's natural hot springs. And in the time I've been here, I've taken most of the church has gone up there hunting. I'm the guide." And then some visitors show up and they see the royal family of God from Upland absolutely enjoying life. Capacity for life. Capacity for love. Capacity for happiness. And then they ask, "What do you guys have? You guys have something we wish we had. What? There's something different about you. What do you have?" "Well, we have Jesus Christ. We're Christians. We have the Lord Jesus Christ." And they could see the spotlight, the reflected glory of God, the reflected grace of God, the reflected virtue love of God. They could see it. Opportunity. They wanted to have what we had. We gave them the gospel. But wherever you can go, you can be hunting. You can be if I say at the crap table or the blackjack table, I won't see you again. But you can reflect the glory of God there. 5. They are constantly being observed, known, and studied by both angels and mankind. You are constantly being observed, known, and studied by both angels and mankind. So 2 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2 starts out, Paul starts out with sanctified sarcasm. Do we have to start all over again and begin to commend ourselves? Or do we need, like certain people, letters of recommendation for you or from you, negative made? No, we don't, but your critical attitude toward us says we do. You, winner believers, are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past with the result that you will always be in our hearts, and you are known and read again and again by everyone, man and angel. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.